Okay, we're starting a new perek, Na'arash Nitpatita. In this perek, we're going to start off with issues about the money that goes to the girl or to the father, and who gets it, and what happens if the father's not there anymore. Do the sons get it? Does she get it? Like, what are the rights of the girl's money, basically, in this area specifically, and maybe in other things in general? Okay, Na'arash Nitpatita. Boshta upigma uknasa shelaviha. Okay, this we, at the pasuk, now it was very clear in the Ones pasuk, if you remember all the pasukim, right, by Ones, now I don't have it in front of me, let's see, v'natana isha shochev ima la'aviya na'ara chamishim kasef, v'lo tia li'isha, that's the Ones pasuk. In the Mefata case, it doesn't say who the money goes to. So here they're telling you that the money goes to the father. V'hatza'ar, but the money for the tza'ar, now this is only in the Ones case, bitfusa, goes to the woman. Okay, this is interesting, right? The pain that was caused to her, she gets the money for that. Amda badin, okay, why do they call her the tfusa, by the way? Because the pasuk says utfasa, and he grabs a woman. There's a mix between the samach and the sin. This happens a lot. So the tfusa is really from the word utfasa, where he grabs her. So the one who was grabbed in the rape case, that's the tsar. Amda badin, ad shalom meta'av, harehen shala'av. Okay, if she gets judged, okay, she stands bedin, there's mardin, ad shalom meta'av, you have the wrong volume? Okay. You have the end, but without the translation, just the very end. Amda badin ad shalom meta'av, harehen shala'av. So let's say there's gemar din, and they decide you owe knas, it's supposed to go to the father, right? And then, if he doesn't die, obviously they belong to him. But meta'av, what happens if the father dies before he gets the money? So now the question is, does the money go, what are the options? Either to his inheritors, right, the estate, or then maybe you would say it goes to the girl. So what does the Mishnah say? Harehen shel achim. Okay, so now why is this? Because at this point of Gemar Din, and this is a lot of what we're going to discuss today, it already becomes a chov. It's not a knas anymore. It turns into an obligation. Once it's a chov, well, they inherit all of his, right? Anyone who owes the father money, they inherit. Lo hispik alama b'din, but what if the flip happens? They haven't yet had a Gemar Din, ad shemei ta'av, harehen shalatzma. Okay, because a chiyuv knas, now we're going to learn another thing about knas. You don't pass that on to your inheritors. A fine is something that you're owed from someone who did something to you, and that's not a chov. It's not like mammon, like we discussed yesterday. So therefore, it goes, or I don't know if it was yesterday or whenever it was, right? It was yesterday. So then it goes to the woman and not to the inheritors. Amda b'din, now we're going to have other cases of what happens if something else happens before the din, after the gemar din. Amda b'din ad shelo bagra. Remember we learned this thing about once she becomes a bogeret, also she gets the knas. So let's say she amda b'din, right, and she hadn't yet become a bogeret. Harehen shala'av. Mei ta'av, but at this point, right, if there's already gemar din, and she's not a bogeret yet, and they belong to the father, and then the father dies, harehen shalachin, right, just like we said, because at this point, it belongs to the father, it's a chov. Lo hispik alamo b'din ad shabagra, harehen shalatzma. But if she hasn't yet gone to, right, the court hasn't decided, then what happens? She becomes a bogeret. At that point, she's going to now get the knas because they haven't ruled on the knas. What this mission is basically saying is the knas before Gemar Din is... too bad. Okay. The eraser, pass the eraser down. That's over there at least. See if this works. Before Gemar Din, the kids were using it yesterday. I don't know if it's over there. Before Gemar Din, okay, what happens is right before, we're going to judge it as, you found it, thank you. Before Gemar Din, we're going to say it's knas. And then, right, it's going to go to the woman if the father dies. It's not going to be inherited, right, if she's a bogeret. Let's say she grows up in between that time before the Gemar Din, then it's going to go to the woman. But once we treat it after Gemar Din, it's going to be mammon. And once it's mammon, it's going to go to the father or to his inheritors. Okay? That's the basic premise of the opinion in the Mishnah that says this. Now we're going to see a different opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im lo hispika ligvot ad shemeta'av, harehen shel atzma. Okay? This means that what? It's not the moment of the Gemar Din. It's the moment of collection. Okay, according to him, Gemar Din, after Gemar Din, it's still a din of knas until you actually pay the money. Okay, and therefore, depending on which situation, right, she would get the money. Here's just another fact since we're already talking.
And if she dies, if somebody is owed a knas and he dies.
So what if she dies, right? What if she dies? That's a good question. Right, so what would happen if she dies? We had it. If she dies, what happens? I forgot. I assume it goes to the family. I don't remember. Right, I have to look it up after. I don't remember. If you happen to notice, Shana, let me know. Okay. So now the last point in the Mishnah is Maaseh Yadeha Umetziata Af Al Pi Shelo Gavta Meita'av Harehen Shel Achim. Maaseh Yadeha means if she works while her father's still alive, as Rashi points out, or she finds a lost item, anything of the woman's belongs to the father, basically. So now, even if she didn't yet collect, let's say she's owed a salary for work she did, she didn't yet collect it, when the father, and then the father dies, all that goes straight to the brothers. Okay? Her money is not hers, basically. It goes to the estate.
Pre-Bokeret, or even when she's a Bokeret?
That's a good question. At what point? You're asking good questions. I don't know the answer.
If she can be sold, then it belongs to
her. Well, then the knas is hers. That's all about, right, when the knas... But that's not the same as being sold. Maaseh Yadeha is something else.
Right.
I think it might be until she gets married. Right, exactly. I don't think that's connected to Ketana or Nara or any of that stuff. I think it's in general.
It's not connected to
what's this doing here at all? Okay, so what's this doing here? Because this is talking about brothers' rights to the girl's money, basically. So when it's mamon, that's what it's really setting up here, and that's what we're going to talk about in the sugya today. When it's mamon, so it's mamon, and mamon goes to the brothers. When it's knas, that's something that's owed to her, and that's going to go to her. So here there's a difference between her metziah that she finds, that's mamon. Okay? Maaseh Yadeha, that's mamon. All this stuff is mamon, and therefore it's going to go to the brothers. So it's just kind of continuing the topic that we're discussing. It is a little off the topic.
Case of a girl who's a yitoma and she gets raped and it goes to... There was no talk of the brothers getting it. If she's a
yitoma, so she gets it. Right, because it's knas. Again, it would be the same thing.
Right.
Because it's a knas, the knas goes to her and not to the brothers. Okay, unless she became a yitoma, and that's our Mishnah. What if she became a yitoma after the Gemar Din? Well, then it would go to the brothers, only according to Tanakama. According to Rabbi Shimon, it wouldn't. It would go to her. So now we're going to have a discussion about this. Okay, before we get there, though, we're going to first say one thing. My Kamashman, the Mishnah started out with the Boshtad, Pigma, and the right, and then the Tsar, and they're saying, why are they repeating the Boshet, the Pagam, the Tsar? Didn't we already learn this in the previous Mishnah? Hamefata noten shloshat varim va'ones arba'a. Hamefata noten Boshet u'Pagam u'Knas mosif alav ones shenoten et Tsar. So now they're saying, mosif alav ones, right? Shenoten et Tsar. So they're saying, why did the Mishnah say this in the beginning? Why did it start off with this Boshet and Pagam and Knas shalavia and the Tsar betfusa? That's when she was attacked and raped. Why are they basically setting up this Boshet Upgam and Knas? And there's, right, and these are the things that go to who? It already said that Mefatega has 3 and Onis has 4. It's not exactly the same thing, but basically the Mishnah starts out with the same basic breakdown, right? The Tsar Bitfusa means the Tsar is for the Onis case. So it's basically saying that that Onis has an extra dimension. So now they're saying, La via itzteri chale. In other words, the reason our Mishnah brought it was to say, last Mishnah talked about what the guy has to pay. This Mishnah talks about who he has to pay it to. Okay? So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? La via nami pshita, midkayad mifate, di la'atzma amayahiv. One second. Nami pshita, midkayahiv, mifate. Right, so since he gives to the mifate, the knas, the boshet, and pgam, obviously it goes to the father, just like by the onus case. Dila atzma amayahi. What did we say? The pasuk was very clear about onus, who the money goes to, but mefate wasn't clear. But think about it. Mifateh, she was a willing participant. So the damages weren't done to her. The damages were to her family. So it would be obvious. If it's obvious in the onus case, it goes to the father because the pasuk says so. Obviously, in the mifateh case, right? De'il azma ma'yayim. Mifateh midata avid. And then she did this all out of her own free will. So therefore, right? There's no reason we should be paying her. So what do they say? So therefore, it's obvious. So therefore, there's no reason for the Mishnah to have said that, because onus is obvious from the pasuk, and mifat is obvious because of it's logical. So what do they answer? Amda b'din itzrichale. The reason they brought this up was because they wanted to say, yes, it's true, it's obvious, which money, right, that all the money goes to the father, even in the mifatah case. But what was less obvious? What happens? It was a lead-in to the second part of the Mishnah, which is all about, what if this Martin and then the father dies, or then she's a bogeret, right? They had to get into the cases that were exceptions to the rule, you know, when weird things happen, and that's why it brought all this up. So kind of the beginning part maybe really didn't need to be said, but it was intro to the second part, okay? And therefore they're saying, and they wanted to teach you this machloket about Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan, and that's why they brought it up. Okay, now we're going to bring another Mishnah from Shvuot that talks about our case. Tanan Hatam. It says in Shvuot, Anasti upititi et biti. Anasti upitita et biti. The father goes and accuses someone and says, you raped or seduced my daughter. Okay, obviously it doesn't mean you raped and seduced. It means you raped or seduced. Very often we see this, where a vav means really oh. You raped or seduced my daughter. V'huomer, lo anasti v'lo pititi. No way, I didn't do anything. Mashbiacha ani. So now the guy says, swear you didn't do it. Okay, the father says to the rapist. Va'amar amen. And the guy says, okay, amen, meaning I swear I didn't do it. Okay, so far so good. Achar kach hodeh. What happens though? Then he says later, you know what? I admit I really did it. Chayav. Okay, he is now chayav. What's he chayav? Okay, to understand this, you have to learn about what do you do. Okay, if you look at Rashi, he says it. Chayav, keren v'chomesh v'asham. Im hodeh acharechem, v'zeu asham gzelot. This is what's called an asham gzelot. An asham gzelot is a korban. It comes up in Vayikra. Okay, you can read, if you have on the side, the Torah or, I read the pasuk. It's Vayikra hei kafal tzakafben. Nefesh ki tekta u'ma'ala ma'abashem. B'chichesh ba'amito b'pikadono b'tzumet yad, or b'gazel, or b'ashaket amito. Okay, here's the guy. What does he do? He does something bad against God, okay? And he's, kichesh ba'amito, he denies that he did something to his friend. B'pikadon, either he says, the guy comes and says, you took a pikadon from me, I want it back. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Or b'tzumet yad, or he says, I lent you money, or I lent you something, and you didn't give it back to me. Or begezel, okay, or you stole something from me. Or ashaket chaviro, he doesn't pay him money that's owed to him for a salary. Okay, all these cases. O matza aveda, or you found something that is mine. Bechicheshba, and he denies it. Binishba al sheker, and then he lies, exactly our case, right? Alachami kol asher yaseh adam lachato bahen. Okay, if you lie about these things, what are you supposed to bring? You bring a korban. Asham, you give the guy back whatever you denied, the object itself, plus you have to add chomesh. Okay, a fifth. So now, so that's Tanakama. He says you're chayav. You're chayav asham gzeilot in this case. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says, no, this is not a case that was discussed in the pasuk. Okay, we're going to see it all. You notice it didn't say rape at all, right? What were the cases discussed in the pasuk? They were all cases of mamon, okay? Here we're going to get into our discussion. Is this knas? Is it mamon? Does it change over time? Rabbi Shimon poter, why? Sheino mashalem knas al piatzmo. Right? In the end, why are we convicting this guy? Because he admitted that he did it, okay? Now, yes, it's true. We've added an extra element because he lied falsely and then claims, right? Either which way, we know he's lying about something, right? Because he said the same thing in the reverse. But still, you're no lomashlem klas apiatzmo. So Rabbi Shimon says this is knas. Tanakama obviously thinks that this is mamon. So now amrulo afal pisha eino mashalem knas apiatzmo. This is what Chachamim say in this Mishnah. You might say that you don't pay knas apiatzmo, But aval mashalem boshet upgam al piatzmo. But even according to you, you should still pay the boshet and the pgam, because that's not knas, that's mamon. Remember, we talked about there's three payments or four payments, right? If you're going to add the tsar and the onus case, there's the boshet and the pgam and the tsar plus the knas. So yeah, maybe the knas you don't pay, but you should at least agree, he says to Rabbi Shimon, that you would pay the boshet and the pgam. Okay, and there's no reaction of Rabbi Shimon here. Now we're going to have a question. Ba'i mineya, ba'i mi rabba. Okay, so we have this machloket, which very much matches the machloket in our Mishnah, right? It's how do we treat this payment that he's supposed to pay? And do we, right? Does it have Asham Gzeilot or does it not? Ba'i mineya, ba'i mi rabba. Ha'omer l'chaviro, anasta upatita et biti, v'hemadeticha badin. So this is basically a question of ba'i asam rabba that can come out of this Mishnah that we saw. So if you say, you raped and seduced my daughter, and not only that, but you were convicted in court about it, and you owe me mamon, v'hu omer lo anasti v'lo pititi v'lo hemadetani badin v'lo nitchayavti l'cha mamon. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. There was never a court case. There was never anything. V'nishba, and he swears. Vehoda, and then he comes and he admits, you're right, I lied. Okay, so now is there going to be a difference, right? L'Rabbi Shimon, my kevan de'ama b'dim mamon ahavai u'mechayev alei korban shvua odilma af agav de'ama b'dim knas havei. So now they're asking Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, who holds the knas in Omshalem al piatzmo, would he say that once he was convicted in court, it already turns into mamon? And one, then it becomes a chov. You just owe this guy money. It's like an IOU. It doesn't matter why you owed him. Was it a knas? Was it mamon? At this point, you owe money. And is that the way we look at it? And now it becomes mamon, in which case, Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're chayav Asham Zelo, because Asham Zelo is on mamon. Okay? Now that's the assumption. Okay, I want to just put up here the assumption. The assumption is that an Asham Zelo refers only to a case of mamon and not to a case of knas. Okay, that's the assumption here. And if that's the case, we want to know, once there's a Gemara Din of Ones, do we say that the Knas becomes Mum? Okay, the Knas turns into a Chov, basically. That's our question. Or does it not? Or maybe, even after the Hamad Abedin, it's still considered Knas. So, comes Rabba and he answers, it's mamon. Okay? This case of ones, once you get convicted, it's considered mamon. This is what we're going to deal with. Okay? This is Rabba's opinion when he answers Abaye and he says it's mamon. Okay? After Mardin. You're saying stealing the betulim is gzela and then it becomes mama, right? But it's not viewed that way because no. We said the whole thing is it's knas, okay?
No, but according to Rabba.
According to Rabba what?
No.
He would view it differently? Okay. The real thing is that it's not the act itself. It's that once the baitin convicts you, now it switches. The whole thing switches, which we saw in our Mishnah, right? Referenced it. So now they're going to say, Etivei, okay? Now, Abai is going to ask a question to Rabba, and he's going to say like this. There's a Braita, okay? Now, the Braita is going to be quoted out of order, okay? So on your sheet, just to make it simpler, okay? I quoted the whole Braita in order, because the Braita, first they're going to quote the end of the Braita, then they're going to go back and try to prove what they're, disprove something by quoting the beginning of the Braita. So right now, you can look at inside the Gemara at the end of the Braita, but afterwards you can go back and follow the Braita inside. Etive, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yachol HaOmer L'Chaviro. Etive means we're asking a question on an Amora from a Tannaitic source. So Rabba's our Amora that we're going to ask a question on because he answered that we think it, even Rabbi Shimon would say it's Mamon after Gemara Din, and now they're going to reject that based on this Braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Yachol ha'omer l'chaviro anastu patita et piti v'hu omer lo anastu v'lo pititi. Or, okay, they're going to give a list of cases. You might have thought that if you say to your friend, right, obviously not really your friend, you raped or seduced my daughter, and he said, I didn't, or here's the next case, okay, and all these cases, it's going to be where the guy then swears, I didn't do it. And then he's going to admit that he did it. Okay, but we have to hold off till we get there because now we're going to see a whole bunch of cases. Hemit shor chai et avdi. Your shor killed my eved. V'hu amer lo hemit. My shor didn't kill your eved. Osha amar lo avdo. His eved said, he palta et shinai. You knocked out my tooth. V'simita et einai. Et eini. V'hu amer lo hipalti. V'lo simiti. I didn't do that. Okay, because remember, the guy then would go free the eved. Right, with the hemit shorchat avdi, remember what it is? What do you have to pay? 30 shekels knas. Remember, that's a knas case also. Okay? The third case is the eved would go free. V'nishba v'hodeh. Okay, nishba, he swears he didn't do it, and then he admits that he did it. Yachol yehei chayav. You might have thought you'd be chayav and asham gzelo for this. Okay, here we're going to see. Talmud lomar. That's all a quote from the pasuk. Now, what are they going to say? Ma elu miyuchadim. What typifies all those cases? Shehein mamon. Akol shehein mamon. Yatsu elu shehein knas. Okay, so basically, what do they say? All those cases are mamon cases. We learn it out from the pasuk v'chichesh b'amito. And therefore, what are we going to say? Our case, so Rabbah said, our case, once this mardin is mamon, and therefore, nishba v'hoda, according to Rabbi Shimon, would be chayav and asham, comes the braita, and the braita says explicitly that all these cases are knas. The only case we have to bring in asham gzeilot is a mamon case. Okay? And it excludes our case. So, first we just have to say, establish one thing that, I don't know if you caught yet, but that's only if you say that this bright is talking about what? My la b'she'ama b'din, that it means after the gemardin. In other words, even after the gemardin, it's still considered knas according to the bright. Okay? But then you'd have to say, in order to say that this is a question, you'd have to say that the braita is talking about la'achar gmardin. Because the point is, right, if the braita is talking about before gmardin, well, then it has nothing to do with our case. Because before gmardin, obviously it's knas. The whole question is, that was what Rabbi said. Once this gmardin, it turns into mama. So the whole question is, so assuming right now, Abai is assuming that the Brita is talking about after Gmardin. And after Gmardin, the Brita says it's still, right? It's still Knas, right? It's still Knas. It doesn't change. That's what Abai, the way he understands the Brita. So then the Gemara answers for Rabbah, lo, b'shalom abedin. In other words, you could just say the Brita was only referring to a case where he hadn't yet stood in court yet. He hadn't yet been convicted. And therefore, what are we going to say? When you lo amad bedin, then it's a case of knas. But as soon as he's amad bedin, if you agree that it becomes mamon, well, then it's just like all the other cases in the pasuk, the gezel and the ashak bamito. And yeah, it's true. It's not listed in this list, but it's what did we say? What's miyuchad about all those cases? Mamon. So anytime there's a chiyuv of mamon, you'll have to pay it anyway, right? So then, that's the whole issue here, okay? So Rabbah says, you could just say it's Mishalo Amabedin. Now, if you remember all these things, right, whenever we say the Mishnah is talking about this situation specifically, we have to say, well, does that really work? You have to look at the Braita in the context of its context, right? So let's look at the rest of the Braita. So now they're going to say, V'hami d'resha b'shama b'din, seifa nami b'shama b'din. You can't say that this braita is referring to kishalo amad b'din. Why? Because the beginning part of that braita was talking about a case where amad b'din. We haven't yet read it, but we're going to read it in a minute. And if the beginning part is talking about b'shama b'din, you can't say, well, then it switches. And then it talks about b'shalo amad b'din. It doesn't make any sense that it would flip, especially without specifying. It makes no sense, right? Otherwise, it just causes confusion. So, what do they say here? Dikatani Resha. What's the Resha? The Resha is Shitat Chachamim. What does it say here? Ein li ela dvarim shemishalmim alehem et hakeren. Tashlumei kefel, tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha v'ones b'mefate u'motzi shem raminayin. Tamud lamar u'ma'ala ma'al. Riba. Here's Shitat Chachamim. What do they say? In the Pasuk v'chicheshba, what does it say? V'chicheshba b'amito, right? In all these cases, so Chachamim say the pasuk only implies dvarim shemishalim alehem etakeren. Things that are mammon, right, where you have to return a specific object. You owe him salary. You owe him a pikadon. You owe him mammon, right? As opposed to our case where he's not paying back any sort of keren, right? He's just paying her a knas. So from where do we learn that you'd also be chayav on tashlumei kefal, tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, ha'ones, ramefato, motzi shemra, all of these things that are knas, how would you know you'd also be chayav asham gzeilot on it? You know, asham, this asham? Minayin, Talmud Lomar, Uma'ala Ma'al. The Pasuk said, if you remember, the beginning of the Pasuk was, Nevesh Kitachta Uma'ala Ma'al Ba'ashem. If you notice, yes, it gave all these specifics, but it started out with a generalization. You did something wrong against God, like you cheated God, right? So they're saying, anyone who does this, who lies in God's name falsely about something, right? That any person, that includes even the Knas. So now, why do we have to assume that this is talking about Bisham Abedin? Hechidami. Idilam Abedin, Kfela Mi'ika. There is no kefel before you get convicted. Right? There's no such thing as kefel. You only pay kefel when you get convicted in court. Right? Elapshita Bisham Abedin. So you have to say that the Reisha is a case of Amabedin because there is no Tashlum kefel. No one can owe kefel. Just from robbing you, I don't owe you kefel. I only owe you kefel if the court says I owe you kefel. Okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, knas can only be if the court says you're chayav knas. If I park in an illegal parking spot and I don't get a ticket, I don't pay anything, right? I don't have to come if I'm like a good citizen. No one would ever, even like the most honest person would, at least I can imagine, would not go to a police station and say, listen, I feel really bad. I parked in an illegal spot and I want to pay you a penalty, right? You don't pay a penalty unless you get demanded to pay a penalty. So therefore, it has to be, since he's talking about things like that, it must be b'sham abedin. Umidereisha b'sham abedin, seifanami b'sham abedin, b'sham abedin. So therefore, you'd have to say that the whole braita is b'sham abedin. So now, Rabbi answers like this. He says, Amarle, yechilna l'shanuye lach reisha b'sham abedin, b'seifa b'shalom abedin, b'kula Rabbi Shimon hi. I could have told you like this. Notice it didn't say a name in the first part, right? It just said it without a name. And then it said Rabbi Shimon Omer, right? In the second part. If you look at the whole braita now, you can see. This is the way the braita works, right? Eli ela dvarim shemishalmim aleihem etakeren, tashlumei kefel arba'a v'chamisha, motzi shemra minayin, tamud lomar, u'ma'ala ma'al, right? So what does it teach you? Riba. The first part teaches you, okay? The reisha says it includes, right, knas, you would do asham gzela, you would have, right, if you lie. The Seifa says what? The Seifa says Rabbi Shimon Omer, and what does he say? That when it comes to knas, right, or, right, you could say like this. I wouldn't even say knas, I would say ones and all those cases, right, in the Reisha, you are chayav asham gzela, and the Seifa says that Rabbi Shimon says ones and all those other cases, you're not chayav, right? You're not. It's not included in the asham gzela. Okay, you're not chayav asham zela. So now, what could Rabba say? Because what's the problem? We said, this must be chachamim, right? And this is Rabbi Shimon, and there's a machloket. And since chachamim we're talking about after Gemar Din, Rabbi Shimon must be talking about after Gemar Din. And what's the problem then? After Gemar Din, right, what do we say? It's still knas. And that goes against what Rabba said, that after Gemar Din, it's mamon. So now, how are we going to resolve this? He says, I could resolve it like this. Okay, what could I say? The reisha is kishama bedin. Then it turns into mamon, according to Rabbi Shimon even. Okay, he's changing it. He's saying the reisha is Rabbi Shimon and the seifa is Rabbi Shimon. And the reisha is talking about once he was amab bedin. And that's why you're chayav asham zelo for a rape case. Because once there's gemar din, it's considered... right, and if you say Chachamim Rabbi Shimon, you can't say one is b'sham abedin and one is lo b'sham abedin because how can they're fighting about two, right? They're each talking about two totally different things. But once you say the whole thing's Rabbi Shimon, you say that's exactly the distinction. Reisha and Seifa, the Reisha is talking about after Gemar Din, it turns into Mamon, and the Seifa is before Gemar Din, and it's not Mamon. He says I could say that, but Shinuya d'chika lo mashanin alach. I'm not going to give you a bad answer. It's a bad answer. Why is it a bad answer? De'im ken amar tali, because if I say that, you'll say to me, litne reisha Rabbi Shimon Omer. Olitne Seifa Divrei Rabbi Shimon. It should have said somewhere that this is Divrei Rabbi Shimon. It should have said Rabbi Shimon Omer or Zed Divrei Rabbi Shimon. It makes no sense to say that the first part was said without a name, the second part had a name, and yet the first and the second part are all Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't make any sense to say it. So therefore, what does he say? So what's his answer now? He's still stuck. Elakula b'shama b'din, v'resha rabbana b'sefer Rabbi Shimon. We go back to what we said before. The whole thing is b'shama b'din, okay? The whole thing, the whole bright is b'shama b'din. The first part is chachamim, the second part is Rabbi Shimon, which basically means that Rabbi Shimon says Gemar Din, after Gemar Din, it's still knas. Okay, so how is he going to explain what he said before, that after Gemar Din, it's mamon? Umodina lach, and I agree with you, I admit to you that you're right, the le'inyan korban shvua, when it's talking about the korban shvua, this whole thing we've been discussing, if you swear falsely about something and then admit that you did it, and you chayav Hashem zelot and all that, derachmana patre, the Torah patres him. In other words, you're right that Gemar Din really is knas for this issue, and the Torah patres him from Hashem zelot, mivikichesh. Okay, from the word vikichesh, right, and it says vikichesh ba'amito, and it listed all those cases, and it excluded the case, our case. So I agree with you that when it comes to Asham Zelot, it is considered knas. However, b'chi ka'amina mamon, when I said it's mamon, what was I referring to? Not for the Asham Zelot. The Asham Zelot has a special din because it says vikichesh ba'amito, and it lists all these particular cases that are mamon cases, and that's when you have to pay the keren and the chomesh and bring an asham. Here, where there is no keren, so there's nothing to talk about. However, when it comes to ki ka'amina mamon, when I said that Gemara Din turns it into mamon, what was I talking about? Laho risho lebanav. I was talking about a different issue, and I'm going to basically make a split between the two issues. Okay? When it comes to laho risho mamon, then I'm going to say that when it comes to the brothers inheriting the knas of this girl, they are going to inherit the knas if there was Gemar Din. Why? Because at Gemar Din, it turns it into mamon. That's what he says. Okay. Etive, but now we're going to have a question on that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im lo hispika ligvot ad shemeta av, harehen shel atzma. What do you mean? Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah explicitly that the brothers don't get it even after Gemar Din. So how could you say that, remember the whole question was according to Rabbi Shimon. V'i amart mamon have, lahorisho lebanav, latzma amai, dachim ba'imi have, it should have gone to the brothers. So what are you talking about? So Amar Rava, here's a great line, hai milta kashe barava v'rav Yosef esrim b'tartin shnin. Below Ifrik, okay, they argued about it, they discussed this for 22 years and couldn't resolve it. Adi Yativ Rav Yosef Beresha Upirke. Okay, until finally Rav Yosef, I don't know how you would translate this, I'm Dab Beresha. I guess when he became the leader, I guess, when he became in charge, somehow, okay, after Rabba died, I see. In other words, poor Rabba never resolved this question, okay? Rav Yosef finally resolves it. Upirka, and what does he answer? Shane hatam da'amar kra v'natan ha'ish ha'shochevi ma la'avi anara chamishim kesef. Lo zikta Torah la'av ela mishat netina. What does he say? You have to now distinguish. When it comes to, okay, now let's erase. When it comes to Asham Zelo, what did we say? There's a special unique halacha that this is treated still as knas, right? Because the pasuk b'chichesh listed all things that are mamon, that have a keren, right? And this is totally different. So it was excluded from that pasuk. But other cases of knas, right? In general, when there's a knas case, what are we going to say? If the father is owed the knas, and it was Gemar Din, okay? And the father dies. What happens to this knas? This knas turns into a mamon, and it goes to the achim. Okay, you follow? Mm-hmm. Except for our Mishnah. Except for rape. Rape and seduction is an exception. Why is it an exception? Because what does the pasuk say by rape? Okay, you know, they have to remember, we're not just talking about rape, we're talking about all cases of knas. So his statement was talking about all regular cases of knas except for rape. So all regular cases of knas, this Gemar Din goes to the sons. When it comes to a rape case, we're going to say it's different because what does it say in the pasuk? Remember this? Bin Natan Ha'isha Shochevi Ma La'avi Anara Chamishim Kasef. What does that mean? He gives it to the father. If at the moment of giving the father is there, because it says, V'natan la'avianara. Okay, the nitina and the pasuk, right, is right next to la'avianara. So they say, V'natan yishashchev la'avianara chavishim kesef. Lo zikta Torah la'av, ela mishat nitina. The Torah only gave the rights to the father at the moment of nitina. And that's what Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah, only at the moment of gviyah does it matter. Okay, if the father's not alive at the moment of gviyah, it goes straight to the woman. Okay? Which is very interesting, if you think about it, that of all cases of knas, this is the only one that doesn't go. Because really, I think there was an interest in helping the girl. In other words, right, she was the victim. The father gets the money, but the father, you could look at it like this. The father maybe gets the money also as a conduit of her, right? But as soon as he's not there, the brothers, but it's not. That's the whole thing. This is different because all the brothers get all her other money, but not this money. This money goes to her for the act that was done to her. So her father gets it as maybe, you know, according to this reading, right? As a part of her. But if he's not there, the brothers don't function in the same way as the father in that way. Whereas they do about the rest of her money, but not about this. It's very interesting.
But it follows the logic also in terms of Kiddushin being Tofsin, the father does it or the brothers do it.
Right. So there's certain rights that the father has over the girl that the brothers aren't strong enough about.
Right? It's like or, his obligation, which the whole halacha, in terms of the brothers, it's derabanan. You don't even consider...
Right, the brothers' rights to marry her off. You're saying because... The father has the only, he's the only one who has the right to rights to marry off the daughter. So therefore, since he gets messed up as a result of it, and the brothers don't really have the rights to marry her anyway, it's really her right to marry in the end. Right, and that's what we learned about Miun, right? That once the brother marries her off, she can cancel it. She's the boss, basically. That. Yafeh. It's, I like that, the connection to the ability to marry her off and to this. Very interesting. Okay, so now... So v'natana isha shachev, right? Lo zichta Torah la'av, ela mishat netina. V'chi ka'amar rabba mamona havi laharisho lebanav, bishar knasot. Okay? So he was talking about the rest of the knasot. So now they're going to ask a question. Ela me'ata gabei eved, dechtiv kesef 30 shkalim yitain la'adonav. Hachanami lo zichta Torah la'adon, ela mishat netina. They're saying here's another case where it says yitain la'adonav. If someone attacks, right, a shore, kills your eved, who gets the money? The Adon. When does the Adon get the money? Right? It says Yitain La Adonav. The same Nitina as Vinatan. Right? So why wouldn't you say the same thing? It only goes to the Adon and not to the Yorshim. Okay? You might say this is the same. First of all, this case is a little different because if you don't give it to the Adon, who are you going to give it to?
Maybe
at least in the rape case.
Maybe you would give it to Eved.
No, the Eved's dead.
Oh, it doesn't mean he kills the Eved.
Right? He kills the Eved. Okay? So now, who's going to get the money? So now, so what do they say? That's not what they answer, though. But they say, Yitain l'chud v'natan l'chud. Yitain means he will give in the future. So therefore, you could say he'll give it to whoever is the Adon in the future. Okay? In other words, the Yorshim. But Natan is presently. V'natan l'avi anara. They learn, V'natan mishat nitina. And he has to be alive. Ihachi, tamud lomar, v'chichesh. Then, okay, if that's the case, now they ask a much smarter question, which is, what did the Braita say? Remember the Braita, you can go look back on your sheet. What did the Braita say? Where did Rabbi Shimon learn this halacha from? Right? He learned it from V'chichesh Ba'amito. It should have said, Tamud Lamar V'natan Mibayle. He should have learned it out from V'natan. That's the pasuk that teaches us that it doesn't go to the Yorshim. So Amarava, Ki Itzrach V'chichesh, Kigon d'shamda b'din ubagra v'met. Dehatam ki kayarit avia minadi de kayarit. As he needed to tell you, v'chichesh, to teach you the case of, let's say she amda b'din, okay, there was a gemar din, and then she became a bogeret after. And then she dies. So now what happens? This is an interesting case. Does the money belong to the father, right? Or... wait, how does this work? Does the... One second. Right, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I'm Dabadin and then Bagra, whose money is it? It's her money, right? According to Tanakama, it's the father's money because I'm Dabadin is when it's Koveh. So according to Rabbi Shimon, Amdah Badin Vibagra, and then she dies, what do we learn here? That when he's Yoresh the money, Kika Yarid, Yarid is Yarash, tough and chin switch. Mina Dida Kayarit, he's inheriting her money, basically. What happens? Let's say there's a rapist, right? Here's the rapist. He hasn't given the money yet. The girl, in the meantime, right, becomes a bogeret, and then she dies. So the girl's not in the picture anymore. She's dead. He now goes to give the money to the father. Is he paying an obligation to the father, or is he paying his obligation to the girl, and who's just the father is a messenger, so he's accepting the money, right? He gets the money. But what's the relevance? One second. And lose it for a second what the relevance of this is, because if that's the case, then, one second,
I thought we saw this also before when they thought that they would give it to the baby, her baby, and they said it's impossible for her to have had a baby.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was a bit too low. It was
right.
Right.
Was
a child at
Where did that baby come from?
Baby. Where did the baby come from?
Okay, so let's just follow this. When she was Amdah Badin, if we learn from Vicky Chesh, what did we learn from Vicky Chesh? We have a knas of an onus and mufate. That Amdah Badin, if she's Omed Badin and takes the knas, and the Beitin's Mechayev, and then she becomes a Bokeret, right, and then she dies. So when he inherits the money, he gets it from her. As Mamon Gamor, basically. That's what it's saying. It's as if she got the money, okay, and then he's just taking her Mamon, and then it becomes Mamon. And then, even though it doesn't come to her hands, it's basically like Mamon already. And therefore, second, and Lamon Jonas, Then we're going to jump from here to say, okay, they needed, okay, the whole question here was, why didn't they learn it out from Vinatam? When they learned the pasuk for the Asham Gzelot, okay, this is the Asham Gzelot, remember our Asham Gzelot case? It depended if it was, right, Rabbi Shimon Chachamim, even after Gemar Din, right, remember, we have Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, even Achar Gemar Din, it's still considered Knas, right? Remember that? And therefore, you're not chayav liashem gzeilah. So now, they're saying, why didn't we say that Vinatan, right? This whole onus case is unique because of Vinatan. Now they're saying, no, you needed the pasuk of Vikichesh to teach you that even in this case, if she's Amdah Badin and Bagra and Meta, that now, according to Rabbi Shimon, one second, I want to make sure I'm getting this right, that you still wouldn't be chayav a korban here. That's the point. The bikichesh is only, even according to Rabbi Shimon, bikichesh excludes the onus case from the asham gzeilot. Even though you might have thought what? You might have thought that because the father is inheriting something that really belongs to the girl, that it would be mamon, and it's teaching you that no, bikichesh comes to exclude this case. Okay? So then it says, ihachi yatsu elu, why does the Braita say yatsu elu shehen knas? This is a case of mamon. It really is mamon because it belongs to the girl. It becomes mamon. It's mamon who. So Amar Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Yatsu Elu Sheikaran Knas. They're saying, they're basically saying like this: if the father, if there's a case where the girl, right, there's Gmar Din, then she becomes a bogeret, right, then she dies. At this point, the father is inheriting. Right, he's Yoresh, her mamon. It becomes a mamon chiyuv, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And they're basically saying that even though it's a mamon chiyuv, we're still treating it as knas. So the Gemara is saying, I don't understand why you're treating it as knas. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers, since its source was it started out as knas, and that's what they're saying. They're saying that on the one hand you have Vinatan. Vinatan teaches you this unique halacha that what? The knas goes to the woman, not to the yorshim, if the father's dead. But then you also need the other halacha about the asham gzeilot that they learn out from Bikichesh to say that Bikichesh only applies, now they're explaining it differently than they explained it before, Kichesh only applies to things that are ikaran mamon, they started out as mamon, things that are ikar knas, even if down the road they become a mamon chiyuv, since they started out as knas, then we're going to basically say that they're still considered knas. And they're not going to, asham gzelo doesn't apply to those cases. Okay? We're going to have more questions tomorrow. We're not done yet. But this is where we're going to end for today.